Okay. Hey, guys, I don't know why I look blurry, but it doesn't matter. Oh, there you go. Hey, how's it going? Welcome back once more to Charlie's Bunker. Today I have Dr. Glick. I don't know if you heard the first segment we did together about the COVID vaccine, but since actually the city is opening up and things are going well, which we're going to talk about in a minute, I decided to have her here in the bunker. I guess I can call it that. Well, anyways, how's it going, guys? How are you, Dr. Glick? How's it going? Thank you for joining me.
Sure. It's good to be here. Good to be back
in
person.
Yeah. You know what? Everything's starting to come back to normal in a sort of sense. What do you think about the city opening up? That was actually kind of a shocker, but what do you think? How do you know?
I was also a little shocked when I found out it was opening so quickly and the country was really opening up so quickly. But, you know, the numbers in Chicago overall look good. I think I was looking yesterday, 40 cases, so those numbers are down a lot. Hospitalizations, we've only have about 5 or 6 a day, so those numbers are here in Chicago, they're looking good.
All right, so before we get into the whole data and everything, we just wanted to break the ice because we're going to talk about, again, the COVID vaccine. I know a lot of people have talked about it. There's still myths going on of what does it do, why do I need to take it, and a bunch of other stuff, right? If kids over 12, now they're able to take it, so that's a good thing. But a lot of people are still concerned about it, right? And it's been a change. This couple of months, it's just been, I don't know, a little drastic. Everything just piled up all together. Movie theaters are opening up. Actually, I went to the movie theater. That was actually very nice because I like to feel that I'm going back to normal. It's a little bittersweet, I'll tell you that. But you as a doctor, you see all these patients, and the clinics are opening up now to what, the capacity of 70%, if I'm not mistaken?
Yep.
So tell us about the clinics, because, I mean, again, people not, you know, I see that people are going back to normal, but there's some still a little bit more of concern, right?
Sure.
So how's the environment in the hospital?
Yeah, I mean, the environment is changing. Things are definitely opening up. People are coming into the hospital. People are coming to their clinic appointments. I would say the thing that maybe stands out a little is that we're still masking. So people in the hospital are still expected to wear masks when we're in clinic, when we're on the wards. In other places, I know people are being able to come into and not mask. I still personally feel more comfortable masking when I'm indoors usually, but I think in general. But it's really, we're trying now, I think, to really get people in. There's been a lot of healthcare that's been missed over the last year and a half, and so people are appropriately coming in for their routine visits and preventative care and taking care of what needs to be taken care of.
Which is a good thing because over the phone, it seemed a little odd. A lot of the patients complained that it wasn't the same because there was no interaction. And the connection was horrible to begin with in some points.
Yeah.
And I don't know how good of a history you could take over the phone with it breaking up and...
Right. And I think, you know, I personally liked it because we could have a connection still when you couldn't before. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a nice thing to add on. So, like, I'll see some of my patients 3 or 4 times a year. So if one of the times I'm having a conversation with them, that's okay. But I think you do need, you know, the history, but also your physical exam.
Yeah.
Also just being able to, like, have that connection by seeing someone in person.
Yeah, and you know, me being an introvert, a lot of people don't believe it. I am an introvert. You know, this is just, you know, the character of the show. But when I'm in my home, I literally just feel at peace when nobody bothers me. And whoever's out there as my friends, don't call me. I'm not going to answer the phone once I'm done, okay? But that's the bittersweet thing for me, right? Because now people are coming out. They're not wearing their masks when they're outside. And, you know, now movie theaters and restaurants are being open. But I still like that sensation of being alone. And how do you think people are going to adapt now that everything's opening up? Like,
sure.
Now we're going back. So what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, a lot of that I think is personal. I feel like I also am a little hesitant just to kind of go right back out there and go to restaurants, go socialize. I don't know how, you know, I still am hesitant to go into places where there's a lot of people unmasked in an indoor space. I think part of it is that, you know, we're still at a point where if you're vaccinated, you can be in those spaces. If you're not vaccinated, you should not be in those spaces. You need to be masked still.
All right. So we have two people here on the live. Thank you guys for joining us. This is Dr. Glick. She's a specialist in infectious disease. And we're going to talk about the vaccine. Now, here's the thing, people. We're doing this so we can inform and get, you know, the myths out of the way and whether to take more of a consideration of the information that's valid, right? Hi, Natalie. I see you. Okay. And thank you for joining us. So these are the questions. This is your opportunity to ask questions to an actual professional who knows the information about the vaccine. Okay. I know that it's very complex because there's a lot of information out there. And we did cover that in the first segment about the vaccine, of the myths that are out there. And that was back in January. We're in June. We are in June, so, you know, I have to clarify myself, what month am I living in? Right. But yeah, I know.
We're almost at the end of June, actually.
Yeah, this year has flown by. I wish last year was the same. But anyways, so this is your opportunity to actually ask questions, okay? And any question goes that comes up in the chat, we're more than happy to read it and answer it. But positive numbers. We're going to get into the details, okay? Positive numbers. Yesterday, Sinai had a Zoom call, which I did put the link on my page. And they give some interesting numbers. Now, I was trying to look for the numbers. I can't have them, but I'm pretty sure that you have some data on it. So tell us about the numbers of patients that are coming into the hospital versus the patients compared to June. How much drastically has it changed?
Well, the numbers are going down significantly. And one real good piece of it is that the people who are coming into the hospital are really people who have not been vaccinated. And I'm going to kind of keep saying this same thing over and over again, because I think that's really important. People who have come in, I don't know the exact numbers in the hospital here today, but I know that there have been almost no cases of new people coming into the hospital. That being said, the people who have come in over the last few weeks are people who are unvaccinated, and we have had some, you know, people get very sick from COVID still.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I get most often, right? They say, okay, so if the vaccine, it's working, how come we haven't changed the numbers haven't changed? But in reality, they have changed.
They've changed significantly. I think the city of Chicago had 40 cases yesterday.
How about the country? In the country, what's the statistic out there?
So the numbers also in the country have gone down. I think yesterday there were 14,000 cases. And when you think about it, there was, you know, hundreds of thousands of cases in the past, or as high as that at the peak of the pandemic. But we really are going down in the pockets. So this, again, is very much about pockets of where people are have not been vaccinated.
Got it. So in the beginning of the pandemic, I remember that the city said once we hit 1,300, they shut down everything, okay? And now we're hitting 14,000, and they're like, okay, so if you closed it at 13,000, why are you not closing it at 14,000? So what's the discrepancy there? Why is it that?
Well, those are the cases in the country.
Okay.
That we have 14,000 overall. So it really depends where you live. So, you know, there's a few counties in Illinois who reported no cases today. And there's also the rates in the city of Chicago have gone down significantly. And we know with that, we know that ICU bed, the availability is over 70%. So we know that we're in a good spot right now as far as being able to open things up.
Okay, so we have a question. Thank you for sending your questions. And the question is there a vaccine in the works for children below 12? If there is, where along are we in the process?
Yep.
Thank you. That's a good question.
That is a good question. So all the vaccines that we have, and here in the States, there's three approved vaccines, and those are being studied for children under 12. So we're hoping that the results of the study will be available by the fall.
Okay.
So maybe not right in time for school to start, but close to that time.
Yeah, and that was one of my questions, too. I know that when the vaccine started in January or December, the end of December, they said a certain amount of, you know, this is the age from then on. And then they actually went down to, I think, 18, and then they went down to 12. And now they're looking for a vaccine before 12. Now, why is it that they're changing the age? Is it because now they're having more information about the vaccine itself, or is it because they're making more vaccines, or what's going on here?
Right. So the way that the vaccines are usually approved is that they will first look at it in kind of a more general population, adult population. Usually people are a little more hesitant to do it in certain populations like children or pregnant women. But the first they'll make sure that they're effective and safe in more general population, which has been proven. And then they will go and to look at these other populations. So that's why they went with the Pfizer vaccine that was approved for 12 to 17-year-olds. They did studies then in that population, and now they're doing studies in younger children. So it's really about doing the studies to make sure that there's nothing that stands out that makes it less safe, and also to figure out the exact dosing necessary for a smaller person.
Got it. And there's still some people who are resilient to take the vaccine, right? And
resistant, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. It's been a long day, guys. Sorry. And you know I have a thick accent, so bear with me. And thank you, doctor, for correcting me. But there, another conversation I had once with someone who's from an African-American descent, they said, listen, they tested on us before. They gave us a bunch of other diseases. I am not trusting this, okay? That's a fair point because that sure. Again, historically did happen. So I've noticed the numbers, and again, I don't have them. I will post them later on my page on Charlie's Bunker so we can have the information available. But that's a very big concern. I mean, what can we explain, or what can we say, or how can we approach this community to be more trusting in the vaccine? Because again, the numbers showing that the kids are going down. But again, they're not.
Well, I think we have good information to share. So when we talked last time, it was January.
Yes.
There were people like us who in healthcare had been vaccinated. And, you know, there had already been the trials where there was about, I think, 30,000 people who had been vaccinated. But now we are at a point where, you know, 177 million doses of vaccine have been given.
Mm-hmm.
So we know a lot more about this vaccine. You know, rarely do you get the opportunity to see how a medication or vaccine works in so many people. And we have that information. And so I think what I like to tell people is it's no longer you're not being, I understand that people, the history of how people have been used as, you know, guinea pigs or not against with not their consent to do certain things. But at this point, we have a lot of real information, real life information about people getting vaccinated to show all the safety issues. It's being studied. It's being reported. The CDC keeps very good records. Clinicians will send in any side effects that people have. It's important to make sure you let your doctor or provider know if you do have a side effect or that could be from the medication. But, you know, it's really no longer experimental. This vaccine has now been available for close to a year when they started the clinical studies.
Mm-hmm.
And so many doses have been given.
And there's still people out there who believe that this vaccine will affect the DNA. So just as a recap, can you explain to us how the vaccine is made and works and the technology behind it? Because that's still one of the myths. The 5G and, you know, whatever we discussed in January, that's not the case, except for this one.
Right.
They're still thinking that it's going to affect the DNA and the, you know, and whatnot. So let's just recap a little bit on that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of still thoughts about that. So this is a mRNA vaccine, or there's two mRNA vaccines, the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine. And it's M is for messenger. And basically what it is that it will give, you get injected with this kind of the directions that goes into your cell, but it does not go into your DNA. It stays in the cytoplasm of the cell. And it basically gives instructions of how to make a protein. And that protein looks exactly like one of the spikes on the virus, of the coronavirus. And then your cell will make the coronavirus protein, and it, then your body will elicit an immune response or react to it. It's like they see a foreign object, and they have to create a response to it. And that's how your immune system gets activated. So if you do get exposed to COVID again, it will be ready to go and ready to kill it off. But that mRNA, that, you know, messenger that you get injected with, goes away within a couple of hours. So that never goes into someone's DNA. It never gets incorporated. None of that stays in your body. And I think, you know, I've told some people this, and they're like, I don't think that's true. And it's like, well, I don't know what else to tell you, but that is how this works. So
I guess that I'm still having a little issue on that, and I'm a bit concerned because they're not trusting the data. Okay, so I we're in times where, you know, and I want to stay politically correct. Okay, but that's not my style. So I'm gonna just say it as it is. Some people believe that they have their certain rights, which again they have, but to not base the data. I think that's pulling us back in some sort of way, shape, or form. Data is data, and we can show the data, and it's fine. But again, what would you tell these people that said, "Listen, you know, I don't believe that, and it's just a myth, and all those things"? What have you said to someone who came and approached you that way about not believing the science behind all of this?
Well, I always encourage people to, if they're going to look at information, you know, where are you getting your information from? You know, your friend on Facebook or your, you know, person that's doing something on YouTube, who are they? What do they know? How have they been trained? Where do they get their information? So it's really the most helpful to get scientific, rigorous information, you know, from places like the CDC or other scientific organizations. And then, you know, and I try to kind of dig in a little bit of like, where is this from? You know, how, you know, what has your experience been? And I think what we could also, if we're just talking about experiences, I could give you the experience that I have had people, how many people I've seen so ill from COVID and pass away from it. So that's real information. And yes, it doesn't happen all the time, but it could still happen to you, and that's what you want to prevent.
And that's another question, because we know, or the data has shown, or the information has shown, that even if you have the vaccine, you can still get the virus. And some people questioned, if I get the vaccine, why would I want to get it if I'm still going to get the virus? So what can you say about that?
Yeah. So the most important thing to look at with these vaccines are what we're trying to avoid are hospitalization and death from COVID coronavirus. And so those numbers are incredibly low. And so, yes, somebody could get if they're exposed to COVID, you could get it, but at most it would be like a mild illness. It's not 100% effective. There's no vaccine that is really 100%, or very few that are close to 100% effective. But our goal is to keep people out of the hospital. And then that person with COVID, there's more studies that show that if I had it, I am less likely to transmit it to anyone else.
Got it.
And so you really want to stop the cycle.
And now that we're on that subject, what's the rate or the effectiveness of each vaccine? I know that Moderna and Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson, they have a different rate of success, not success, I shouldn't say that, but they have a different percentage.
Right.
So what will the difference in all three of them?
I think maybe we could post this, but I know I don't want to give you exactly all the wrong numbers.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, I think that's another kind of area where people are concerned about it. And again, the thing to look at with all three vaccines, they're greater than 90, 95% at preventing hospitalization and deaths. So the J&J, the vaccine, is a little less, when you look at the numbers, it looks like it's a little less effective, but it just shows that some people can get COVID after they've had the vaccine, but it's really, the numbers for preventing hospitalization and deaths are incredibly high with all of them.
See, and that's one of the reasons why I asked the question, because people believe that just because you get the COVID and you survive, it's just a simple cold. And I've said it in its time when it started a long time ago, I said, this isn't just a simple cold. Just wash your hands, cover your face and whatnot, and you'll be fine. But it turns out that a year later, yes, it was a little more serious, but it was still able to prevent it, right? Now, we're still in that mentality where we've seen that okay, the vaccine works, the numbers are going down, but I'd rather risk it. I'd rather risk getting COVID because I don't think it's as bad as people make it seem to be. And no, actually, the numbers, like we said, have gone down when it comes to the CQ or surgical intensive unit or intense units, whatever. I forget.
Ventilated or intensive care unit.
Thank you. Yeah. And that was not only the case. Now, we covered this before, and the amount of beds that were being used for patients who had COVID was tremendous. And that actually took beds from people who came with other conditions.
Right.
That are cardiac
attacks,
arrest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Especially in this area, wound shots, and now that, you know, it's becoming a little crazier because of the summer. But yeah. that's one of the fears that our city had, that there was not going to be beds for other diseases and conditions or problems or issues that we could not take care of because of the patients that had COVID. So that's huge, guys. That's huge because now there's, like Dr. Glick said, there's 70% of beds available. So that's actually pretty good. And if you see it in the medical health, and correct me if I'm wrong, that actually gives you the opportunity to have more patient care than just actually waiting for something that could be avoided or preventable, right?
Right. I mean, it will allow you for people who need those beds for other medical conditions who are really sick to come in then and get the care that they need. You know, I think one other thing that you discussed that I think is really important is, like, why should I get it? Like, I'm healthy. If I get COVID, it probably won't be a big deal. Well, the first thing is you don't know, you know, and unfortunately I've seen people who should not have had severe COVID get severe COVID. So that's one thing. You just never know. The second thing is, you know, who are you around? Maybe you won't get it, but if you bring it back to your house mm-hmm. or you bring it back to someone else who's immune suppressed, who maybe even got the vaccine, but the vaccine didn't work as well because they may have cancer or something else, and you give them COVID, that would be horrible. And then lastly, I just think, you know, the only way as a society that we're going to get past this is if we get as many people vaccinated to prevent further spread of infection.
One of the questions they asked yesterday was if anyone who's immunosuppressant should take the vaccine. I think that was an excellent question because we did discuss about the immunity and the immune system in the first segment. But can you answer that question now?
So, I mean, if you are immune suppressed, so if you have, let's say you're getting treated for cancer or you have a rheumatologic disease where maybe you're on a medication that's going to suppress your immune system, you know, it's always first recommended to talk to your doctor, make sure that they feel like it's safe. Most people, it's safe to get the vaccine. The issue with it may be that your response to the vaccine may not be as good. So you may still have a chance of getting it.
You know what? The last time we talked, I was a little traumatized, and I'll tell you this. You did say that whoever has an immune system that's robust will actually feel the effect more. I was on the borderline. I also know that when you get a little older, your immune system doesn't work as good.
Right.
So then that meant that I was getting a little bit old. I wear glasses now. I didn't feel anything about the vaccine. So that got me a little depressed about a day or so. But I managed because then, you know, the arthritis
right.
and everything. So, yeah, that confirmed that I'm getting old. And everybody was like, oh, you're old? Guess what? Yes, I am. Oh, there you go. Now, whoever needed to hear that, apparently they did. And now they're going to make fun of me. One of the things I wanted to ask you, too, it's one of the concerns that people had was the reactions to the vaccine. The Pfizer, I understand that he had allergic reactions to. But the Johnson & Johnson, there was a time where it started developing blood clots. now they're putting it back on the market and they're injecting it again, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Why will they do that? Now, that's one of my concerns, because now people ask me, like, do you think I should get the Moderna? Do you think I should get the Pfizer? Do you think I should get the Johnson & Johnson? And I'll be honest, I'll say, whatever is not Johnson & Johnson. I will say that. But go ahead. I don't want to give the wrong information.
So, you know, what happened is they did see that with the after the Johnson & Johnson, they had some people who got these blood clots, and they were pretty severe, and they were unusual. And so what they did is they stopped giving the vaccine for a while, and they looked at all those cases very closely, and they looked to see what features were the same, or was it caused by the vaccine, or could it have been caused by the vaccine, or was it just coincidental?
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like there was some association with this vaccine. They were all in young women, and they all, once they kind of figured out to how to recognize them and then how to appropriately treat those people, people did okay after that. But they did have a few, I can't tell you exactly, but there was a couple of people, I think one person who passed away from this blood clot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also looking at millions of people who got the vaccine. So what they said is that this vaccine is safe. They said that doctors should be on the lookout in case someone does come in with some of these symptoms of severe headache, their platelets have dropped, or some other signs of this type of blood clot, and how to treat them. And what so they felt like it was safe to put it back on the market. So there are, again, you're giving hundreds of million doses of vaccine, so you may see some side effects. So, you know, someone said more than a 1 in a million chance of getting this side effect. Your chances of getting hit by lightning is 1 in 500,000.
That is true.
I think that, you know, maybe if you're a young woman, maybe you would think about getting the other vaccines. But I think overall this is a safe vaccine, and it's also just one and you're done.
Another thing about the vaccines, and that's a question that's been coming up recently, is pregnant women. They want to know about if they're able or can they or should they get the vaccine, any of the three.
Yep, and I think last time we spoke, we had talked about it, and there was, you know, there wasn't a lot of data because they try to exclude women from the first trials initially, and they did that because it's a more vulnerable population. But now that a lot of people have gotten it, the recommendation really is for all, like the CDC, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, is for pregnant women to get the vaccine. It has been found to be safe both to the mother and the developing fetus. And also the nice thing about it is that the mother will pass some of her antibodies on to the baby.
Oh,
so when the baby is born, they have some immunity. They're born with some immunity, so it protects them in their first months of life.
Nice. Now, another question they did bring up, and that was in the conference yesterday, is people who do drugs or are addicted to drugs, or they have a problem with drugs, should they get the vaccine?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, there's a few different reasons for that. One is that people maybe in a setting where they're, you know, maybe with other people, they're sharing drugs, sharing works or something like that. So maybe they're closer to other people. They may be masked. You know, sometimes if you're under the influence of drugs or alcohol, you're going to kind of take less precaution. So you may be more risky. So the vaccine is safe in those and populations. It's definitely recommended to get the vaccine.
Another thing, it's India, about a month ago or so, they had a huge spike.
Yeah.
And they're talking about a new strain of the virus, or if it's, another strain, or what's going on. In Mexico, there was a case where it's called the black fungus. You want to explain a bit more on what happened in India, what's going on, a little bit of your knowledge, and also what's the black fungus?
Right. So The what happened in India, so again, this viruses are really hardy, smart things, living things, you know, and they all, to stay alive, to preserve themselves, they always mutate. So the coronavirus has mutated a lot, and kind of the strongest strain will be the one that survives. So in India, the Delta virus, the Delta strain or variant of the virus, was really first discovered during their India's second wave of COVID.
Okay.
And it is more transmissible, so it's more likely that someone will give it to somebody else. It also can cause more lung damage. The good thing is that it looks like the vaccines still work against the Delta virus.
Oh, that's good, because we didn't want to start all over again.
Right, exactly. So right now, the Delta virus, it has been found, the Delta variant has been found in this country, and we suspect that it's going to take over, you know, probably sometime this summer. It'll be the dominant variant.
And I remember about 4 months ago, there was a special on the Oliver show. I forgot. The Oliver Stone show, whatever. It's on HBO. Go look it up. But that's one of the. I know. I should have gotten this information down, right? But he did a segment where it says, listen, get the vaccine. We don't want this changing because we don't want to go back to square one. And that was pretty much the focus of the whole segment. Can we actually go back to square one with this whole thing going on?
Yeah, I mean, we could. This is probably something that, you know, this virus is probably here to stay. So it's something that there's a chance that we may need to get vaccinated yearly, or at least some parts of the population will need to get vaccinated yearly. We'll know more. We don't know fully what that's going to look like, but I think this is, and it could change, and it most likely will change over time.
Okay, guys, so that's all my questions for now. I wanted to have her back here, and we wanted to, again, update the information on this, and I think it's great the direction we're going. If you're a little concerned about the city reopening, we're there with you, okay? Again, we work in the medical field. We've seen everything that it has gone through the last year, and it bittersweet, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
We're great that we're actually seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, but we also know that we can go back into the tunnel, which we want to avoid, all right? That's definitely one of the things we want to avoid. So if you are in crowded places and you're not vaccinated, please wear your mask, right? And
mask, distance, yep.
Yeah, and, you know, just to be considerate, Dr. Glick came, you know, today to the studio, and I asked her if she wanted me to keep my mask on. She said, are you vaccinated? I said, yes, because I wanted to get out of here, like I said. But some people are not. So if you are one of those persons who are not being vaccinated, you know, just a little consideration. And if you can ask, that'd be great. I mean, we all have families, and we don't want to go back to square one. Again, this is the whole idea is for us to get out of this, not get into it again. Anything else you want to say before we close? I know you have some information if you want to go through it, or we just cover everything.
Yeah, no, I think we covered most of it. I mean, I think that, you know, this is something, I guess, here right now in this city, we're in a pretty good spot. I think people should feel good. The summer, it's kind of a nice time. I'm planning on spending as much time as possible outside with friends and doing all those kind of activities.
No karaoke yet?
No karaoke. with me, you do not want karaoke really any time, but that's a whole other story. But I think that, you know, it just, you look at other places in the world, we're fortunate to have gotten the vaccine and to be where we're at. So
yeah, Guatemala got hit very badly too. I know Camila, mm-hmm. the vice president, went to Guatemala not too long ago in Mexico and delivered 1 million vaccines. That was great. Again, the whole idea is for us to support each other as a worldly community, right? Because whatever happens in Guatemala, it's still going to affect me here in Chicago, right, or Mexico or Italy or India or whatever. You know, once you start traveling, it's all game, right? But yeah, I think that we should consider a little bit more about the vaccine. There's so much information out there that we can actually go into now and find out. The vaccine has been out for almost 7 months now.
Yep.
So yep. In January.
December.
Yeah, in January, I could have said, you know what? You have a point. Now in almost July, I'm like, okay, no, listen, just go. Just go. Get your information straight and just go. Because it's working. The numbers are going down. Patients are not getting admitted. People are dying less, and which is a good thing. And, yeah, I mean, we're heading in the right direction. Don't make us go back. Right. Don't make us go back. All right?
Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
So just to give an FYI, Sinai does have an open clinic. We are taking actually people walk-ins without no appointment, so walk-ins. So share this video. Please share this. Again, we're doing this for you guys, for everybody, okay? So share this. Call Sinai. Get information, whether on the vaccine or anything. If you need an appointment about anything when it comes to infectious disease, you might want to see Sinai and Dr. Glick. She's excellent, okay? All right, so I'll give you that right now. I don't have any conditions that are virus or disease, but I work with her many years, and I know that she does a great job. With Dr. Russell, shout out to Dr. Russell, and Dr. Mohapatra.
Yeah.
Right? Your colleagues.
Yep, my colleagues. We've been here all over 22 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
22 years. And also, if you know where their clinic is at, because they have a picture of what's his name, the doctor.
Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, Dr. and they have a little Fauci. Heart. Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it.
Yeah, we love him.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you for everything. I'm actually going to get I'm going to take a little break right now, and then we're going to come back with Nelly Baby, and we're going to actually do the whole music and the podcast. All right, guys. Thank you very much for joining us, whoever joined us, and until next time. And you need to come back.
Okay.
All right, cool.
I'll come back.
All right,
thanks.
Then. All right, thanks, guys. Later.
All right. Bye.
That was good.
Yeah, right. I think that was. That was fun.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, guys, I don't know why I look blurry, but it doesn't matter. Oh, there you go. Hey, how's it going? Welcome back once more to Charlie's Bunker. Today I have Dr. Glick. I don't know if you heard the first segment we did together about the COVID vaccine. But since actually the city is opening up and things are going well, which we're going to talk about.